breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Friday edition. Of course, 9 o'clock hour. That means the two geniuses in the world of politics, Bill McCutcheon, in studio, by the way.
Yep. Uh-huh. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. And then Joe Zepecki, who, last time I checked, lives in Shorewood, is joining us on the phone. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Wait a minute. You're phoning it in from Shorewood? Come on. Steve, do you think Sarah Godlewski would have made it in today if she would have been our guest?
I think she would have.
Yeah.
I think she'd actually have been here like an hour early.
No question, right?
Right?
But not okay, Joel. He okay, couldn't get that okay, electric fellas. Snowblower to work this morning, apparently.
I don't have a snowblower.
Oh, he doesn't even have one. Not even going to mess with it. Just going to use those powerful
shovel.
Muscles
yeah.
he has.
He's a young guy, as he reminds us every week.
Yeah, he's not that young. Joe Zepecki joining us, of course, Democratic strategist Bill McCutcheon on the Republican side. I know you were at the Bucks game last night.
I was.
No Giannis.
Mm. Disappointing. That was my first Bucks game of the season. I would say, even with the weather, there was 90% attendance.
That's
there.
Good.
It was good.
They're a fun team to watch.
They're a fun team to watch.
That is the team that beats.
Yeah, they're deep. No question about it.
I feel good about this team. If they get healthier, we can have big things.
I think that's right.
All right. Speaking of healthier, Joe Zepecki, football coach in his leisure time. Is that a paid gig or you just do it for the fun of the sport, Joe?
Just for the fun of it.
I love that. That's what I love about you, Joe. That's why you're part of the show, even though you're a Democrat. That was for my audience because they like to.
Yeah, boy, okay. Yeah. I'm ready to punch back today, boy. You bring in the heat, I'm going to bring the heat.
That's why I'm poking you, because I want to see what you got.
Poke
for me. All right.
Bear.
So this week in the big race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, an important, important race for both sides. Both sides understand what's at stake, I think. We saw some big money, Bill McCutcheon, coming to the race, WMC, to the tune of $3+ million.
$3.2 million. Fair Courts America are in for $1.2 million, so... You know, a little less than $5 million. It doesn't match dollar for dollar what the Protasiewicz campaign has or her allies, but it should be enough. With 25 days left in the race, you know, that's about $160,000 a day statewide. You can do a lot of message with that.
You probably don't know exactly what these messages are going to do, or maybe you have a thought. What should they do? What should the message be for Kelly against Protasiewicz?
Listen, since they gave her sort of a head start, you know, they might be down 7 or 10 points if this was a football analogy. They got to go after her. They got to define her. They got to let voters know that she's got her thumb on the scale. She's got her mind made up on some key issues that they care about, and maybe some that they don't even know, right? Like gun rights. Where is she at on that? So I think the more people learn about Janet Protasiewicz, same as Mandela Barnes for Ron Johnson, it's a similar type of campaign. The more they know, the less they like her. So, you know, all the Kelly allies and Kelly himself, when he gets on the air, which I expect to be next week, it's all about the defining Janet, period.
4 weeks that's from cool. last Tuesday. Joe, jump in here. What do you think? This is now going to be a fair fight.
So interesting that you bring up Mandela Barnes. How are Janet Protasiewicz and Mandela Barnes alike?
People don't know anything about them.
Of all of the Democratic politicians, I wonder why Mandela Barnes. I wonder why.
Listen, because he lost. Republican, that was our bright spot in November's election, as Ron Johnson was able to defeat him.
Just say it, Joe.
Right.
Say it.
Mandela Barnes, it's because he lost, right? It's not because
yes.
he's a young black man
who's
too liberal for this state in the eyes of Republicans.
Well, he is that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's in dispute.
He came within 26,000 votes of knocking off an incumbent Republican. McCutcheon didn't see that coming. He thought Johnson was going to win going away. Give me a break. It is transparent. It is disgusting. And they are not samesies. The only political hack in this race is Dan Kelly. How do we know this? His statement of economic interests was released this week. Great reporting from the Wisconsin Examiner. Mr. Kelly has had basically five clients since he lost by 10 points in 2020. All of them deal with Republican and conservative politics. I love that the Kelly folks are trying to run this campaign like, I know I am, but what are you? When Janet Protasiewicz is a qualified, capable, long-serving judge who has worked for the state of Wisconsin, as opposed to taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Republican Party, from the Bradley Foundation, from IRG, for doing things like writing manuals on how to do more investigations like the Gableman disaster. It's really refreshing to hear that a mere $5 million from WMC and Fair Court, and all of a sudden Republicans think that they've got a shot in this race. Okay, we'll see how this plays out the next few weeks.
Listen, if she's qualified and capable, then why is she ducking debates, Joe? Why did she turn down 4 of 5 invitations for debates? What's Janet hiding?
Why did Donald Trump duck debates? Debates matter a lot less than they used to. You and I both agree that shouldn't be the way that it is, right? We'd like to see more sparring. We do it every week. But this is the way that our politics are going. It's not the best outcome, but it is where we are.
So we're all Packer fans. She's playing the prevent defense, which all of us know prevents you from winning. So I think that creates an opportunity for Kelly in the next 25 days. If the resources are there for him.
I was going to reach out to Charles Franklin on his polling. He will have some polling before this race, I'm guessing.
I don't think so.
He won't.
No.
That surprises
me. He typically doesn't get involved in Supreme Court races or spring primaries.
Interesting.
He will in the presidential primary next year.
I would be curious where we're at today with the numbers.
He thinks it's 4th and 26th for the Kelly campaign.
I would suspect that Janet's probably leading at this point because she's had a huge cash advantage, and she's been on the air literally since the middle of January.
I'll take a break. I want to get back to the debate thing because we have one scheduled, I believe, on the 21st.
Right.
Yeah, between the two candidates, Kelly and Protasiewicz. What that means, what we might find out about these two candidates that we don't really already know. Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky, WTMJ on this Friday, snowy Friday. More after this.
Summertime is finally here. That old ballpark.
Producer Brandon having some fun. Yeah, we got some snow in Milwaukee and throughout most of the state, actually, different levels. I see the airport already had 10 inches. My poor wife Kathy's out there snowballing. I told her to wait. She wants to do it. God bless her.
You married well.
I did. I married up.
You did.
All right. Joseph Pecky joining us, Democratic strategist. Bill McCosh, of course, Republican strategist. Gentlemen, we have one debate between the two candidates on the 21st of this month, obviously the election on April 4th. So there's been a lot of commercials. We've talked about it. I think there's a perception that we kind of know the candidates, right? We know what Daniel Kelly is. We know what Janet Protasiewicz is. Kelly has served before, appointed by Governor Walker.
Right.
I don't know if you know the man.
Not
personally.
Well.
Okay.
Not well.
What should Wisconsinites, voters, know about Dan Kelly? From your perspective,
that he's a rule of law judge, and he's got a proof of concept in his 4 years on the bench, and you know, he lets the law be the law. He doesn't try and legislate from the bench, and I think that's, and he doesn't have his thumb on the scale. I think that's what people would expect from a judge, is even if they have values, as Janet says, you know, they don't bring those into their decision making. They let the facts prevail.
Does that earlier defeat say anything about this race?
It might. His campaign would tell you that he ran in a presidential year, and that's true. And it was also the COVID year, so it was. I would say the April 2020 election was the most disorganized, disjointed race maybe in our lifetime.
That's when the pandemic was crazy.
Remember, the governor tried to cancel that election,
right. Or
to move it to May, and in hindsight, Republicans probably should have taken him up on that.
Interesting,
because the presidential primary would have been done and gone by then.
Joe, on the Democratic side, liberal side, I should say, it's a nonpartisan race. What should we know about Janet Protasiewicz?
She's a prosecutor. She's a judge. She believes in constitutional freedoms and protecting the law. In retrospect, during the break, I was thinking about this notion of debates in a race like this. And I think one of the things that I think we all agree on is these things have become too political and too partisan. And we all wish there was a way where we could take some of the politics out of it. Hey, we are where we are. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, we're now getting into like the tit for tat and the ridiculous debate over debates that always happens in partisan campaigns. Is having two judges debate one each other sort of gladiatorial style, like we do in partisan political campaigns, really the best way to do this? I'm not sure it is. I think one debate is more than enough. I do want to note that the Protasiewicz campaign said there were multiple forums, right, where it's one, you know, same audience, there's media participation, that both candidates get some of the kind of the same questions and have a conversation. That, you know, so it's not like she's afraid of what she believes and doesn't want to be out there talking about it. But I do think that the debate over debates is often much ado about nothing.
One of the things that bothered me, though, was she turned down an invitation from a group I'm a member of, the Milwaukee Press Club. Daniel Kelly will be there. I'm not sure why you can't show up for something like that. I don't know that they're going to give her a question that she can't answer.
Well, I think the Milwaukee Press Club, sorry, Joe, is more likely to be give voters information than a debate would. Joe and I actually agree on that. If you look back at the gubernatorial race, I would say Tim Michaels won the single debate with Tony Evers. It didn't matter. Tony Evers still was reelected. And the problem with a single debate is they become so sterilized by the campaign staff. There's negotiations ahead of time, how the questions are going to be asked, when they're going to be asked, what type of questions. And they become so sterile that they're all about talking points. And you don't really learn much. And I think, you know, so will the debate on the 21st make a difference in the race? Probably not. I think Joe's probably right about that. But had Janet accepted the Milwaukee Press Club, that would have made news. And I'm confident Kelly will make news when he's there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the texter made this point. Derek Van Orden refused to do any debates in his race. So, I mean,
it's on both sides. Katie Hobbs in Arizona, the new governor of Arizona, she refused to do debates.
Right.
You know, more and more candidates, when they think they have the lead, have decided, I'm not taking a risk of saying something that I'll regret or that could be used against me, so I'm just not going to do any debates. And there's no consequence for it.
Let's add one more. The Republican National Committee, the RNC, has withdrawn from the Commission on Presidential Debates. We've got a presidential election next year. There might not be debates because the RNC told the group that's been holding presidential debates for all of my life, no thanks, we're done. So, yeah, this is not great, but it is where we are.
Well, if you go back to the last presidential election, I think Donald Trump would have probably wished he wasn't in that first debate. I think that one single-handedly cost him re-election.
To Joe's point earlier, is the era of debates over? Does it matter?
Remember, we're on real-time news now, so it's not like you wait till the morning paper.
Yeah, you don't hear from in the past. You didn't hear from these people.
Right, you didn't
Here
hear
they
from
are.
Now you're hearing from their campaigns on an hourly or even every 15-minute basis with tweets and TikToks and Instagram. So we're in real-time news now.
All right, gentlemen, we'll take another break here. Lots to get to. We've got the presidential race heating up with Ron DeSantis. I think he's going to Iowa.
He is.
Yes. Interesting. Is he running? Well, I think he is, but he also has a book to sell, by the way. So
that or I want those diet pills he's got.
he's losing weight.
He's lost 25
Slimming
pounds.
Down for some reason. I don't know what it might be. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Joe Zepecki on the phone. Bill McCosh in studio. Our regular Friday feature on politics in the States and in Wisconsin. More after this on WTMJ. Oh, you're having some fun with the sun on a snowy day here in Wisconsin. Hope it's nice where you are. Thanks for tuning in as always. Thanks for the questions and comments on the Old National Bank Talk and Text Line. Gentlemen, since we only have a minute and a half or so, let's do a fun one, but maybe not. Aaron Rodgers, Bill McCosh, going to be a Packer player this year?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think they let the Jets go to California to meet with them unless they are ready to move on.
Joe?
I wish Mr. Rodgers good fortune in the wars to come. Come on, Jordan Love, baby. That's good love.
Listen to Joe. Where was that angry Joe we had in the first 10 minutes? And now he's Mr.
He thinks we're going to lay off that he's sitting in looking at the snow, you know?
I'm guessing Joe's probably got his pajamas on, his hat on backward, he's drinking
my
his, like,
poor
third cup 15-year-old
granddaughter had to go to school this morning, Joe, but you couldn't make it into downtown. Come on now.
Come on now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But I did shovel.
Oh, you've already shoveled.
I shoveled the front and the side. I did not get the alley. Our alley is an absolute disaster. That was the problem.
Alleys in Milwaukee.
I love alleys. We had them in Superior.
In this area, that's the last thing that gets touched.
Yeah.
And it's like if you were going across the Donner Pass.
Yeah.
With a car, that's how it is. So that's Milwaukee. Although I will give the folks credit, coming in off Plankton exit on 794. Plowed this morning at 5:30. Credit to the DPW guys. They are working their butts off. That was some heavy snow.
It was heavy and wet. Yeah. For all the guys out there plowing, stay safe and thank you for what you're doing.
Now you're going to head out again, huh?
I'm back to Madison after this.
So drive slow. All right. In the next half hour with Bill and Joe, Bill McCosh, Republican strategist, Joe on the Democratic side of the aisle. We got budget battles. We've got, what else? We got the presidential race, obviously. Ooh. Ron DeSantis going to...
Eating up.
Going to Iowa. Losing,
selling books.
Getting fit and trim.
Selling books, taking names.
Maybe just getting ready for the Florida summer. Maybe it's not nothing to do with the presidential race. I'm doing all I can to make people feel better on this snowy Friday here in Wisconsin. Now, I have listeners in Florida and Texas and California, so... Well, California's getting nailed with rain and stuff, but Florida and Texas, they probably got some good weather right now.
Well, I would think so. And one of your regular guest hosts, Tracy Johnson's out hitting golf balls. I just saw her on social media. Yeah.
Yeah, over at...
She's going to make it springtime, yeah.
Tracy's got the best attitude. She was on the show yesterday talking about the... We should get to that one, the Home Brew Coalition, you know, trying to get that stadium thing going. You think there'll be any problems with that?
I think the Republicans will get that figured out.
Yeah. Why didn't they talk at the beginning, though, instead of like the back? That's what frustrates me. While the governor has this idea, we're going to take the idea and just redo it. It's like, why don't you just figure it out at the beginning? Just jointly present it like we're all friends.
Well, it comes back to trust, right? We're still building trust between the governor and the GOP majorities, and it's not where it needs to be just yet, but we're working on it.
Now, Joe Zepecki is in my circle of trust, even though we disagree on things. Is that the way you look at it, Joe?
Absolutely. And see? I'm honored to be in that circle.
See how nice we are all together on this snowy Friday. All right, gentlemen, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there's a race. There's a presidential race next year, 2024.
There is.
They tell me. All right. So
there'll be a debate in Milwaukee in about 5 months.
Another success Milwaukee. So all the beating up that happens about this city, that's another win for the city, which is pretty awesome considering we have the DNC sort of, and we'll have their RNC. All right. I'm going to start with you, Bill. Ron DeSantis is certainly making a lot of gestures and moves that suggest, including slimming down, that he's going to run for president.
Yep.
This is not going to be a surprise. He's running for president.
I think he's running for president. It's a two-person race between he and Trump at this point. DeSantis has been smart. He hasn't taken the bait when Trump goes after him, and he is laser-like focused on his legislative session. He wants to put some more points on the board in Florida that he can showcase around the country. And if I were him, or if I was advising him, that's exactly what I would have him do.
I completely agree, but you know he wants to.
Oh, I'm sure he does. He's a competitive guy, right? Yeah. I mean, he's an athlete. He's a former veteran. So I'm sure he doesn't like taking those shots and would like to respond. But I think this is the wise strategy for him, is let Trump be in the lead on these national polls, which I think Joe would agree don't even matter. It's state by state. That's how the president is elected. So let Trump hold that lead for the next few months and sort of punch himself out.
You're the Democrat in the room, Joe. I know you have some thoughts on the Republican side. Do you think, what's that race going to be like from your perspective, the DeSantis-Trump warfare?
I just can't believe Bill has already given up on Nikki Haley. I thought that was his candidate.
I didn't give up on her. In fact, yesterday I sent her campaign manager a little text because I saw her on Neil Cavuto, and she was on fire. She was really, really good. And she's saying a lot of things that will resonate in a GOP primary. There's no doubt about that.
And I'm the Nikki Haley supporter in the room because I wrote her in.
Yeah.
I like Nikki Haley.
So it's not a two-person race. And I think that...
Is, but she could be on the ticket very easily. And who knows? You've been around this long enough, Joe, that, you know, something cataclysmic could happen between the big two, and then, you know, there's an opportunity for someone else.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, let's say this. Best wishes to Minority Leader McConnell, recovering in the hospital after a fall.
Yes.
Senator Feinstein was in the hospital recently. It is a reminder that, you know, a lot of these folks are
old,
of age.
Old.
Okay.
Super old.
Try to respect my elders here, Bill.
Yes.
In terms of the presidential race.
Glad you said Bill, not Steve.
I think we're at a really interesting moment where it now looks like the New York district attorney is going to indict Trump. We are starting to hear some rumbles out of Georgia that the Fulton County DA is going to move. Perhaps with an indictment, just the way the calendar works and the sort of rules and the road when it comes to legal action and elections. If anything is going to happen on the legal front for former President Trump, it's going to be in the next couple of months. And I think the question is, what will that mean politically? Will that cause Republicans to rally around him and actually make him stronger? We know that President Trump, whatever else you think of him, he is the most effective counterpuncher that we've seen in American politics in the last 50 years. He is never better than when he is sort of, you know, back to the wall, seems like he's cornered and can lash out. And so I think it's an interesting moment where DeSantis is maybe trying to be too cute by half. And he's telling people he's going to run. He's going to Iowa, but he's not wink, wink running yet. We've got these, you know, there's a new PAC this week that's going to draft DeSantis. It's actually headed by a former top Trump official at the Department of Homeland Security.
Ken Cuccinelli. Yep.
Yeah. It's basically like two, like it's a couple of boxers, like, you know, circling each other around the ring. And at some point all hell is going to break loose. So, listen, I'm going to pop my popcorn and enjoy it. I am less convinced than I think the two of you that Mr. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, is going to wear well over the long haul. But you don't know until you know.
It's a different stage. No question about that. We've talked about this in the past on how Scott Walker held up on that stage and how others have held up on that stage over time. And I think DeSantis will stand the test of time. But as it relates to Trump, you know, he's going to have 30% of the GOP base regardless. And I don't think these charges, whether they come from New York or Georgia, will make one bit of difference to those folks. But 70% of the GOP base is looking for a new generation.
I completely agree with that as well. But the problem for Trump, as I see it, is a lot of the voices, and I sample a lot of talkers across the country, diehard Trump guys, they've moved on.
They've moved on.
And that's the problem. That's why I think DeSantis probably has that leg up. Joe,
you guys. Do you guys not believe the new poll out of New Hampshire that showed Trump at over 50%?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I think it's too early to worry too much about that. Politico had a story this morning that they interviewed 187 county chairs from around the country, and DeSantis was the clear front runner among county chairmen. And, you know, these are the people that do the doors and do the phone calling and the coffees and stuff for the candidate.
Hey, Joe, real quick on the Democratic side, Biden's all in, as far as I know, barring some major story. Is there any chance at all that he would dump Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, and pick a different running mate? Zero?
Zero. I think there is more chance that President Biden changes his mind about running himself. And I would put that about like 0.5%. There's more chance of that happening than there is that if he runs again, he runs with a new VP. It's just not going to happen.
Interesting. All right, we'll take a break here. Bill McCosham, Republican strategist. Joe Sopecki, Democratic strategist, sitting comfortably in his living room there at the Shorewood Estate.
Well, yeah, looking at his shoveled walk that goes right to his car.
Yeah, good job, Joe, though, getting out there and shovel this morning. That's impressive. We've got to give him the respect it deserves.
What kind of neighbor are you? You didn't shovel the neighbor's walk in front of their house. Come on.
I went into their walk.
I thought liberals were giving people, right?
He went a few feet into their yard.
You're all about the little people. Come on, help a neighbor out.
All right, we're going to break here back with the gentleman after this on WTMJ. Feel like an FM station this morning, spinning the tunes on this snowy Friday in Milwaukee. Welcome, everybody. Steve and Bill and Joe on WTMJ.
Well, three of us are here. You, me, and Brandon.
That's right.
Joe's at an undisclosed location.
Joe's sipping a pina colada in his shorts and his sandals. His flip-flops.
But no ball cap on. He sent us a very colorful picture.
we'll leave it at that. All right, gentlemen, budget battle Wisconsin. We'll get to the Brewers thing in a second, but do we have a sense, I'll start with you, Bill, on how things are going?
Well, I've been an optimist on this program. I still want to be an optimist, but I'm a little less so. Mm. So I think there is room to grow the trust between the governor and the GOP majorities and find that common ground on some key issues, whether it's education or crime or aid to local governments, and that requires work on both sides, right? You have to want to cut a deal to get a deal. And so we'll see how that plays out. I'm a little less optimistic today than I have been in recent weeks based on some conversations I've had this week in the Capitol. But listen, I'm going to remain hopeful that we can find a way to get a state. We will have a state budget, no question about that. The question is whether or not the governor will have his fingerprints on it during the process, in which case there will be some grand bargains along the way.
Is it helpful to say to Governor Evers from Republicans to use the acronym DOA? Is that helpful politically? I guess it is, but...
Well, I think what the speaker was trying to relay is they're going to start from base, and that's pretty common. Which means they're going to work off the existing state budget. The governor's budget will be options for the Joint Committee on Finance to consider as they work their way through it. But rather than pulling out pieces of the governor's budget that they don't like and seeing what's left over, they'll just start from the existing budget and work from there.
All right, Joe, your thoughts on the budget battle in Madison?
Well, I don't think using phrases like DOA is helpful. I don't think, misleading the public about what you were told and not told beforehand about elements of the budget is helpful. And I'm with Bill. This has not been a good week for the Kumbaya crowd who would like these gentlemen to get in a room and work it the heck out. Let's set up the Brewers thing here. My sources in Madison are saying that the Speaker and the Majority Leader in the Senate were well aware that there was this plan with the Brewers and everybody was on the same page. And then when the governor's team rolls it out, all of a sudden it's the Republicans who are going, well, we didn't know about this. And that's just not helpful. And as you say, then, saying we're going to tear it up and come up with our own deal that's basically the same deal with, like, one minor tweak. What are we doing here? What is the point of that? I don't understand why they can't figure it out. And I think, to Bill's point, the trust is the thing. And I just feel like this week it was the Republicans who, maybe didn't do their part to build that trust.
On the Brewers' proposal, whether it's Evers or the legislature, the Home Crew Coalition got together and said this is a really great thing, gave us some ideas about how that might work. Is that where the softening of the hardened positions is going to happen and it gets this done?
Oh, I think the business community is going to play a vital role in this, as they did when Miller Park was built in 1995. I think that the Brewers package didn't necessarily need to be in the budget. It could have been announced separately. It is something that probably could have been worked on with the governor and the legislative leadership and probably the co-chairs of finance. Prior to announcing it, they could have all been standing at a press conference saying, we've got this deal and here's what we're going to get done. But set that aside. That's a process issue, and most voters don't really care about process. I think we will get there in the end. I think the Republicans and the Democratic governor will find a way to keep the Brewers in Wisconsin.
Does it make sense financially, economically, to use some one-time dollars that are available to finance stadium renovations?
I think it does. I might be in the minority on that, and I don't want to get sideways with my leadership and the Republican side, but I think there is some merit to that. You certainly aren't going to do the 0.1% right. Sales tax, right?
That
was
would
very
be
unpopular, and it cost the senator his seat back in George Petak back in 1996. So I thought that was a smart play with the money and spend down the balance a little bit, but we'll see if the legislature or if the Republicans come up with something different.
Joseph,
it's okay, Bill.
Go ahead, Joe.
We can both get sideways with our own party on that.
Joe's getting some love on the text line. Mrs. Dalton in Hartford saying that she thinks Joe is one of the most logical and polite Democrat strategists she knows.
He is. I would agree with that.
On the Brewers piece of it, thank you, Ms. Dalton. on the Brewers piece, wait, $290 million for a professional sports franchise that charges me $9 for a pint of beer when I'm sitting at the game. I am not a fan of using public dollars for sports. Sports is a $1 trillion business in this country. There are other better things to spend that money on, but the politics are what they are, and seemingly every program.
I think he just took the Republican position, didn't he?
Yeah, hardcore, Mr. Joseph Pecky, hardcore Republican strategy.
Wow,
what was that about?
Yeah.
So you say no to the state money for this renovation?
I wasn't a fan of the $450 or $500 million for the Bucks. I'm not a fan of $290 million for the Brewers. I love both of those teams.
You are for the little guy. I like it.
Those are among the ball caps I own, but I don't think that's what we should be putting public money for.
All right. He is Joseph Pecky, Democratic strategist, and a lot of other things, as well as Bill McCosh on the Republican side. After the break, the grab bag. I never know what our two guests are going to bring up. We'll hear all of that after this on WTMJ. Oh, Brandon, getting it done on this Friday morning on WTMJ. Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky. It's the grab bag segment of this outstanding hour of Milwaukee Radio. Bill McCosh, what's in your grab bag?
My grab bag is going to be Mayor Cavalier Johnson. This week he thought big, and I like big thinking politicians. He said, you know, I'd like to see Milwaukee get back to a million people. It's been 35, 40 years since we've been anywhere near that. But I like big thinking. And to do that, you want to have pro sports teams. You want to have the Milwaukee Bucks. You want to have the Milwaukee Brewers. You want to have the RNC and the DNC here. You want to have MLB All-Star Game. You want to have the NBA All-Star Game. And those are all things that this mayor has said in recent months. And I think that kind of energy is what this city needs. So my shout-out this week, or my grab bag, is Cavalier Johnson, keep it up. And the fact that he's been to Madison, you know, like twice a week for the last 2 months.
Isn't that something?
It's a good sign, right? And he's building those relationships. He's building trust that we talk about every week. And I don't know what the final outcome will be for the city of Milwaukee, but I think it'll be the best budget they've had in some time.
That could have been Joe's grab bag, for Pete's sake. All right, Joe Zapacki, what's on your grab bag on this Friday morning?
Is that former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark's entrance music I hear?
Why would you make that association?
On Monday, Sheriff Clark is launching a new podcast. I am hearing that he's being asked to consider running for United States Senate in 2024 against Tammy Baldwin. I think that's a crazy idea. I'm not a fan of the former sheriff, but if you look at, you know, the way he's messaging and positioning himself, he sounds a lot like a candidate taking on the rhino establishment in Washington and the Biden administration. So is this a grift, or is this former Sheriff Clark setting himself up for a run for statewide office in 2024? Stay tuned.
I didn't even know he still lived in the States.
I don't know if he does. He may.
But that doesn't stop Eric Hovde or Tim Michaels.
All right, stop. Jim Michaels is a good guy. Stop blowing him up all the time.
I want to shout out Brandon for the songs today. Also, was that him I saw at about 10 o'clock last night during the blizzard in shorts and a tank top walking his dog on the south side?
That was not me, Joe, but I was wearing shorts last night.
He wears shorts almost every day of the year, so that's not unique. But that's a nice shout out, and I agree. I asked him to do something, and he took it.
Brighten everyone's spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. Always great to see you, Bill.
Great to see
making
you.
That slog in this difficult conditions. Joe, sitting in your little comfortable chair at home.
I can't wait until next week when it's like 73, and Josh is calling it from Superior, and I'm down in the
I could have been in Superior today. I had a reason to be there. I didn't go. I was here for you, Joe, and you weren't here for me.
Gentlemen, go clear your driveways and your sidewalks. We'll do it again next Friday. The news is next on WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour Friday edition. Have you survived the snowstorm of the week? Every week now we get, like, week-ending snowstorm. I made it in. Hopefully you made it in if you were on the road. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the weather. It's the weather. We deal with it. But I am going to spend some time on my show poll, at least at the beginning of this hour. So I'm always intrigued, sometimes confused by listener emails, texts, sometimes voicemails, which is much harder to do, by the way. You gotta be diligent if you want to get that to that level of contact. But I appreciate the effort, trust me. On what people think is not enough coverage of a topic or too much. So I actually made it my show poll today. And as you'll see later in the 11 o'clock hour, I'm actually looking ahead to St. Patrick's Day already. So even in the poll today, I said on this last Friday before St. Patrick's Day, which is next Friday, what story are you already tired of talking about? And I gave you three pretty different choices. Aaron Rodgers trade, which I'm going to talk about in a second. That's at 63% now with almost 200 votes. So well done to those who had voted on our Twitter poll, 620 WTMJ or at WTMJ Steve. Well done, you. Oscars / Will Smith, about 20% of you. And just to throw politics into the mix, 2024 presidential election. I'm not going to spend much time on that because we just spent an hour on politics with my good friends, Joseph Pecky and Bill McCashin. I caught one of the best hours in Milwaukee radio, and hopefully you agree as well. But the Aaron Rodgers thing. So I had the good fortune of sitting in with my teammate Gabe Neitzel. He of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy fame on ESPN 94.5, right down the hall from us here at GKB. And it was about Aaron Rodgers. Also about meatballs, because for some reason they talk about random things like meatballs, and I was the Sicilian in the room, so I went there. But I had an interesting take on Aaron Rodgers. I kind of want to hear if you agree or disagree. So there's the sports take, right? What does it do to the Packers' chances to win a Super Bowl? Will Jordan Love take him to the next level like Favre did previously and Aaron Rodgers after him? That's all interesting stuff. I'm not a sports guy or a sports show. I'm not going to make fun of him for his desire, willingness to try different treatments in search of a calmer head and a mental health aspect of being a very talented quarterback. But I made a point on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's show this morning with Gabe Neitzel and Brian D. was also filling in, that there's something that's not being talked about. And it's the what I call the next step mentally. The missing piece that gets you to a Super Bowl and helps you win a Super Bowl. Now, before you jump on me, I know Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. I was at the game. Relatively early in his career, 5 years into the league. 2010 season, Super Bowl played in February of 2011. So maybe the psyche of Aaron Rodgers was more just all out, boom, let's go, let's win a Super Bowl. And maybe over the years, some of the things that have happened to him, injuries, horrific losses, and I mentioned this on their show, the 2014 loss to Seattle, one of the most horrific losses in Packers history, in my opinion. The point I'm trying to make here is, it takes an incredibly talented individual to quarterback a team to the Super Bowl and to win a Super Bowl, with very rare exceptions. Think about Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and Bart Starr and Peyton Manning. Oh, I mean, the list is not that long, but it's just the pinnacle of sports, really, in the most watched sports events in the world. And I made the point with Gabe and Brian that as much as Aaron Rodgers appreciates the mental health aspects of all the things he's done, whether it's ayahuasca, whether it's the sensory deprivation, it suggests that in his psyche, in his brain, in his gray matter, he struggles at times. The youthful exuberance of 2010 has been replaced by, I don't know, maybe some self-doubt, maybe some unsuredness. And that little bit of a sliver of doubt can sometimes lead to a quarterback who, in the most difficult situations, and I don't blame 2014 on Aaron Rodgers, but in the previous few seasons here in Green Bay, that little hesitation in your brain that says, maybe I don't have it all figured out. Maybe I need help in that area. And again, I'm not bashing Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying that's the missing piece. And I use this example. Take it away from Aaron Rodgers if you don't trust that analogy. Tom Brady. Winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history, 7 times. He wins with Tampa. He retires and then unretires. Again, there's that little sliver of doubts, right? Retire, no retire, back and forth, back and forth. He plays for Tampa. Again, that's not the only factor. Has what most people consider to be not a typical Tom Brady season. Lost some tough games. Struggled at times, through interceptions, uncharacteristically. That's that little missing piece. Again, that lack of all in that sometimes is the difference between winning a Super Bowl and isn't. And I also made the comparison to Patrick Mahomes. He's in that phase where that's his sole focus. There isn't any offseason anxiety. He wants to get right back in there, right after the Super Bowl, and play again, next week if he could. And you don't have that when you're 39 or 45. Because there obviously are life events, situations, realities that you're not facing when you're 26, which is how old Aaron Rodgers was when he won his Super Bowl. The interesting thing about the Packers and Super Bowls, Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, all around the same age when they won their first Super Bowl. I called you Jordan. Producer Brandon, he hates when I do that. I hate when I do it too. Just Google the age of Jordan Love. I don't think he's 26 yet, but he's getting up there.
He's younger than some people that are being drafted this year.
He can't be that young.
He is.
How old? Look it up. So, you know, the overall question is, are you nervous about Aaron Rodgers leaving or upset? No. I want him to be happy, first off, because he's given me great delight as a Packers fan. I was calculating in my head before the show how many times I've seen him play, and it's about 100 times.
How old was Rodgers when he won?
I think he's 26.
This would put Jordan Love right on track. He just turned 24.
Okay, so, I mean, we're talking, isn't that interesting? I think
that's what good teams do, though, by the way.
Absolutely, which is why I don't sweat a Jordan Love-led Packers. Let's see what the young man has.
Yeah.
Just like we saw what Aaron Rodgers had. Did anybody think Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers? Come on, be honest.
And not only that, but like you've exhausted every avenue with Aaron Rodgers. What else are you going to do? You've brought in all his buddies. You have heartbreak losses. I mean, you've done everything you can. You've paid him over $200 million throughout his career. Generational wealth. There's only so much you can do. He wasn't able to get it done in the last part of his career.
If he leaves, and trust me, if he leaves, we'll do wall-to-wall sports because that's kind of what we do here. But I don't begrudge him. I wouldn't be mad at him.
No.
He gave us some of the most entertaining moments in our lives as Packer fans. Why in the world? I can remember the Chicago game. I don't know when this was. Probably, I don't know, 6 years ago. He got injured in the first half and came back and won the game at Lambeau Field. Mm-hmm. Or the game where he blew him out in the first half was 42-0.
Yeah, 6 touchdowns. I tweeted that out yesterday. It's perfectly okay if you're a Packers fan. It's not like an ugly divorce, right? You don't have to pick one side or the other. You can be torn that your team might be trading away your favorite player or one of your favorite players, and you could also be excited about the future at the same time. You can be both.
Yeah. And here's the thing about sports. There's always your next favorite player. I love Brett Favre. I got a life-size cutout of Brett Favre in my Packers shrine downstairs. I scare the heck out of my grandkids with this thing, especially my youngest. But I'm not mad at Brett Favre. I'm not mad at Aaron Rodgers. I loved Bart Starr, and I had the thrill of a lifetime to get to sit down at a table, me and Bart Starr, before he had some of the health issues he had. And that is a treasured moment in my life. And I appreciate greatness. And we should appreciate what Aaron Rodgers brought to this team. It was greatness. He gave us a Super Bowl. Trust me. There's a lot of teams that haven't won a Super Bowl, including a team to our west.
And south.
And south, yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, oh, you only have 2 Super Bowls in 30 years. That winning is hard. It's hard, and that's why those teams that say it, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, they haven't won it. Chicago's going on 40 years.
Yeah, 85. Come on. So let's slow the roll. There's a lot of things going on with this crazy sport called the NFL football. And one of them is the psyche of your quarterback. Whether it's Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Josh, whoever it is. If it was easy, your guy would win. It's not easy. Never has been. So don't hate on Aaron Rodgers. All right, we'll take a break. Lots more to get to. We'll do all of that after this on WTMJ. I love the music on this Friday. Hope you're having a great time out there. Shoveling, snow plowing, snow throwing, salting. If you're in Wisconsin, I know not all of you are, but if you're in your heavy gear out there clearing the snow but still listening, I appreciate you. Love you for that commitment to the station. Speaking of commitment, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but we get viewer mail. And so I'm looking at my viewer mail. And it was turned over, so I didn't notice what it was right away. But and folks on Twitter, I just tweeted it out. It's actually a closed Wolski sticker that they sent in the mail. PJ sent me in the mail. Her husband works at Wolski's. And I love this. And then Danny Clayton from Annex. He's their IT, radio, communications guy over there at Annex Wealth Management. Huge, big-time radio guy as well. You hear his voice right here doing commercials still. Best voice in the market, as far as I'm concerned. He goes, you got to earn that sticker, No Stolen Valor. Dude, I was there 100 times or more. I spent every weekend of my college life at Wolski's. I heard the Rosalita. I heard when they, I don't know if they still play it, but the New York, New York. I heard that. I played pool on their tables. I spilled beer on their floor. And I've had this idea. I'm going to do like an impromptu visit the week of the 20th. I'm a bachelor that week. Wife's traveling to Vegas, surprise, surprise. And she'll have a blast there. I'm going to do like a, I'm going to Uber over there so I don't have to worry about drinking and driving. On one of the weeknights and hang out. I'll let you know when that's going to be if you want to come in and say hi or just hang out. I'll even buy you a beer. How's that? So the folks at Wolski's, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a Milwaukee landmark just off Humboldt Avenue. It's fun. It's old school. It is just, it's a slice of what makes Milwaukee fun when you're talking about, you know, local taverns. It is the essence of this fun town. You got that Polish name, right? Wolski's. And, you know, speaking of the sticker, I actually have a sticker that I got. I went last summer and I got a sticker. They gave me a sticker. And I think I have it up in my office at home. I'm actually going to frame that, I think. Maybe I'll get somebody, maybe get the owner to sign it for me. www.wolskis.com. You want to find out what I'm talking about. And if you're coming to Milwaukee, if you're somewhere else, ask your Uber driver, your taxi driver, whoever you're with that's from here. Hey, let's go to Wolski's. Let's go check it out. And right around the corner is Scafidi's, by the way, which is also a fun bar. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with news. We'll get to some serious topics as well. Enjoying this Friday broadcast. Hopefully you are as well. On our way to the weekend, don't forget, I'm going to do a special. I'm excited about this. I was going to wait till St. Patrick's Day, but I may do it twice. It's so good. A special early St. Patrick's Day edition of If Steve Ruled the World. This thing is on fire. This is solid gold. This is 24 karat diamond, which would be worth, is that 24 karat gold? If you had a 24 karat diamond, that'd be crazy, right? It'd be like a softball. See, I make mistakes sometimes, but I own my mistakes. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to the news and a whole lot more after this on WTMJ. Oh, you're going to love me in a second. Last chance to win a pair of tickets to see the amazing, incomparable, very talented Patti LaBelle. Riverside Theater, May 20th. Last chance to win a pair of tickets. Number to call right now is 855-616-1620. One more time, 855-616-1620. What number am I feeling? Let's go with number 9 to 855-616-1620. Yeah, this is it. Last chance. Patti LaBelle. And how cool is it that she came back after that shortened concert due to some knucklehead who called in a bomb threat? I can see the phone lines are already all green, so well done you. Caller number 9 will be very lucky to see her. All the great rhythm and blue classics, pop, spiritual stuff. Probably one of the most versatile artists that you'll see as a concert goer. Enjoy it. Riverside Theater, May 20th. Caller number 9 to 855-616-1620. Warming it up on a Friday for you in Wisconsin. It's cold and snowy. Looks like the snow is going to get out of here fairly soon. Although still hanging out a little bit on the lakefronts. And shout out to my wife, Kathy, who has snow below the driveway, sidewalks. You got to love that. Although she did leave my truck with the 10 inches of snow on it to clear that, my F-150 in the driveway. So I will take care of that when I get home. But my burden has been eased for the weekend. And I'm ready for the weekend. I was telling Bill McCosh when he was in studio earlier, I have zero plans. Now, one of the things I'm actually going to do, I'm reversing my sort of personal ban on watching I'm going to watch the Oscars on Sunday night. I'm going to give them a chance. So why am I bringing this up? I was reading a couple stories over the last few days, and I know I wanted to get to it on Friday, about the future of the Oscars. So I'm old enough to remember when Bob Hope was the host. I mean, it's been a while. And then I can remember when Jack Nicholson was the featured front row guy, right? All of his great films. going back to, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Chinatown, and many after that. He's probably been nominated. I could have Googled it, but I didn't. Probably 8 times, I'm guessing, something like that. Probably won a couple times. But I'm going to give him a chance. But I'm curious to know, because we've all talked about this. Every talk show in the country has talked about the politicization of Hollywood, right? Even though those who pay attention, who actually read behind the headlines, know that there's actually a significant number of people in Hollywood who are conservative. Or at least identify with the right side of the political aisle. And I think it's a misnomer, misconception to just assume everybody thinks the same. Now, is there a lot of liberals in Hollywood? Absolutely. And we see it in the films they produce. We see it in the comments they make when they win award shows. But I'm going to give them a chance this year. One, because I have a lot of respect for people who that I know that work occasionally or show up on our station, like Matt Miller, writes reviews. And I generally like to read what Matt has to say about films. But I wanted to give it a chance. I do get a sense that some of the people that show up at the Academy Awards, Oscars, are also tired of people making speeches that have nothing to do with the films they make. And that's happened for a long time, trust me. It's not new. It's not a product of the last few years. It's been going on forever. Marlon Brando had a woman come up and accept his award on behalf of Native Americans. I mean, it's happened before. 855-616-1620. I'm giving him another chance. I will watch the broadcast. Now, hopefully they don't make me stay up past 10 o'clock. Usually that's the issue, right? Because I like to go to bed before 10 o'clock because I wake up very early. This will be the 95th Academy Awards. They're promising that it's going to be different. They're going to, headline that I was reading in a story last night was, they're going to try to fix the Oscars again. Now, everybody remembers last year, right? Will Smith, the slap heard around the world. I like Will Smith, but I could care less about Will Smith. The fact that he's banned for 10 years, don't care. And I'm in the camp that says he should have been charged. You don't get to do that. And I did some time on the show yesterday. I spent some time yesterday talking about this reaction to the reaction, right? Chris Rock finally addresses it in a Netflix special, and now he's the bad guy. And to those people, I say, you're crazy. The only bad guy here is Will Smith. Somebody made a joke. You couldn't handle it. You assaulted a peer on live television in front of a billion people. You're the bad guy. You should have been punished more severely than you were. And a 10-year ban is probably light because I wouldn't trust you. And Chris Rock makes a great point about that in his special. Will Smith is a big dude. He played Muhammad Ali. He's built. And Chris Rock's not. Probably weighs 150 pounds soaking wet. So that's not a fair fight to begin with. 855-616-1620. Will you watch? I'm going to go back and try it. Now, if I watch it and it's a barrage of left-leaning political speeches and an event that's supposed to celebrate great artistry in the movie industry, you'll lose me pretty quick. But I'm willing to give it a chance. I want to be flexible. I will watch the Oscars Sunday night. Will you join me or will you not watch? I'm happy as you know what on this Friday. My wife Kathy's already cleared the driveway. That's out of the way. Might have a drink in my future this afternoon. Why not? Friday, weekend, let's get to it. I'm not going anywhere. Give a little soul boxer on ice. How's that sound? Sounds good, if you ask me. All right, so I asked a question before the break. I am breaking my personal ban on watching the Oscars. I tuned away for a couple of years. Actually, last year I did, in full disclosure, tune back after the Will Smith thing, just to see what was going on, just to hear the temperature of the room, which was interesting. Trust me. I'm going to give it another try. I'm going to give it a try. And they can lose me quickly, as I said, if they veer off and start making this a campaign for Joe Biden's next presidential election. Mike joins us on the phone lines. You can join us as well, 855-616-1620. Mike has done that. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
You probably have it on speed dial, I would imagine.
I know it by heart.
Yes.
I don't have it on speed dial, but it's Easy number to remember.
We have to get a. I'm talking to producer Brandon and Mike at this moment. We have to get Mike from Illinois to record a promo for us with the number to call. That's genius.
I'd be happy to.
All right, we'll have to work that out.
Springsteen for you.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that you are enthusiastic about Springsteen. I got to tell you though, you got to work on a little bit.
All right. Well, I'll be doing some karaoke this weekend, so I'll be doing it.
Nice. What's your go-to song? Do you sing a Springsteen song karaoke, or you do something else?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
No, Springsteen, Seeger, and Mellencamp are my go-tos, but for Springsteen, it's Thunder Road.
Oh, that is the best. That is the best. All right, Mike.
I can nail it. I'm talking.
All right. We'll take your word for it. All right, so yeah. Oscars, I don't know if you've watched or not watched, but if you don't watch, are you giving it another chance?
I do watch, and that's usually just the beginning because I do appreciate the pop and circumstance. Kind of like what you were saying about the Super Bowl. I mean, it's the Super Bowl of movie awards, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And it does mean something. It's a big part of our culture and country. So I will watch. Unfortunately, a lot of the movies I don't know because I'm a traditionalist where I just watch movies at the theater, and that's how I find out the movies. All these other streaming services I don't really get into. But, yeah, I don't appreciate the left-leaning speeches a lot of times. So even without that, I probably won't last too long. You know, obviously now they have a big award right at first. I won't make it to the end of the show, but I will give it its due diligence.
So did you – there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 – looks like 10 nominees for Best Picture. Have you seen Maverick? Yeah. Have you seen Maverick?
Of course.
Okay, so you saw that one. I've seen Elvis, I saw, which is a very good movie.
Yep. It was very good.
I haven't seen Avatar.
Yeah, I won't see that.
Why? Why?
I'm not into that type of movie.
That genre?
You know, it doesn't float my boat. I like more reality a lot of times with a historical context. So I did watch The Banshees of
Inisherin. Great movie. Yeah.
Yes.
I liked it as well.
I liked it. Yeah, I mean, what attracted me was it was in Ireland, and I love, you know, Ireland. It was great except for the weirdness of cutting off his fingers. I just thought that was bizarre.
Hey, spoiler alert, buddy.
Yeah, sorry. That's just a small part of it. Sorry.
Yes. Actually, it is a great film. Anyway. So, I mean, you've seen seen three of them, like me. I mean, that's more than I usually see, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm a big. I mean, I love movies. I do, but like you know, I definitely have a certain type of movie I like to see. And you know, Maverick was one that a lot of people were waiting for a long time. So,
all right, man, drive safe.
That was on my list.
Drive safe if you're out and about today. Mike calling from Illinois. Here's the rundown: Best Pictures, All Quiet on the Western Front. I'm going to try to watch that this weekend. Avatar, haven't gotten to it. I saw the original movie. I liked it. Elvis, loved the film. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. It's on my list. It pops up on my streaming services all the time. I saw Banshees of Inisherin. Loved the film. The Fablemans, Spielberg's sort of life story. Have not seen it. I don't know if it's still in theaters. That would be probably a film that I would see. I love Top Gun Maverick, just like I enjoyed the original. I actually thought, maybe you disagree, maybe you agree, that this one was better than the first one. I just enjoyed it more. And maybe because I maybe knew it was coming and I was impressed. As I've said this before, I wasn't at the beginning of his career a big Tom Cruise fan. But body of work, I mean, it's absolutely incredible. The fact that he does what he does, flies jets now, apparently flies helicopters. He's got a motorcycle thing in a movie coming out this year that he did himself. It's just great, great theater. And I think Tom Cruise gets it. Cinematically, he understands the industry. Matter of fact, if you saw Maverick in the theater, which I did, he kind of reintroduces us to the concept of going to the movies again, which I'm sure my friend Greg Marcus at Marcus Theaters appreciates. And I'll say this, I understand we've gotten to this point in our lives where the home theater and the home theater experience with the big TVs is cool, it's great sound systems, all of that. And I'm not blowing that up, I enjoy it as well. But seeing a movie in a theater, there's nothing like it. Freshly popped popcorn, great seats. You can even get bargains.
You had me at popcorn.
Yeah, I said this a few weeks ago. We got to get Greg Marcus back in here.
We do.
I'll pay for the bag of popcorn. He brought that big bag of popcorn in. It was fantastic.
I tell you, I go there periodically and grab it, and it lasts like a week. The kids love it. It's so good.
Yeah, I brought it to a party. It was like the hit of the party. So, Greg Marcus, if you're listening, I know you do. I will go to the movies because my wife and I are talking about going because we have nothing scheduled this weekend. And I got to get some of that popcorn.
What are you going to go see? Because we were looking at movies too, but there's...
That's the thing for me. There's not anything I really want to see.
Creed looks good, though. The new Creed, but...
It's supposed to be, like I was just talking about, maybe the sequel better. This is considered to be really good.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. And I'm hooked at boxing. Just to round out the 10, Triangle of Sadness. I have no idea what that's about. Tar. That is about a conductor who I think is wrangling with some issues, and that's as much as I know about it. And then Women Talking is the 10th. So overall, just my take on the Oscars, I'm going to give it another chance. I know that Carol is going to watch, and she joins me on Monday's show. So I want to make sure that I know what she knows and what she watched. So we will join together on this joint viewing experience, but we're not in the same room, but you know what I mean. We'll both watch. I got some texts on this. You're welcome to join us on the phone, 855-616-1620. Will you go back or will you continue to watch the Oscars? And if you have one, what's your favorite for Best Picture? I said mine was Maverick. What's yours after this on WTMJ? Happy Friday, everybody. Don't forget, 11:08. I'm doing it a week early. I want to. I'm in a good mood. The Irish edition of If Steve Ruled the World, a week early. I may do it again next week. As much as I chastise those people who are overly enthusiastic about St. Patrick's Day, especially the ones who drive drunk, I enjoy the holiday. All right, so I see on hold, is this local celebrity Joanne Williams calling my show on a Friday? Is this local celebrity Joanne?
Yes, it is. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. What prompted you to call me on this Friday?
Well, you're talking about Oscars, and I just wanted to tell you, mm-hmm. aside from the political and societal things that get into in the Oscars, what a thrill it is to win an award like that, because I just won a bunch of them for my documentary film.
I know you have. I follow you on Facebook, so tell our audience about it, because you've been on a bunch of times talking about the making of the film. Now we're on to the award-winning phase of that story.
Yes, and there's nothing like the thrill of hearing the name of your film announced in the best documentary feature category and having to walk up there and pick up the award and have people applaud. That's a thrill that I didn't expect to get with my film, but I have three times now, so it's great, and I can really understand what those folks in Hollywood feel when they go up to get that Oscar.
So what do you say when you go up there?
Give me
the speech.
I thank the team that helped me make the film. I try to remember all the names of the team, but I forget usually one or two, and then I have to apologize to them. I tell them how grateful I am that they appreciated my film, and I hope to do another one.
You know,
it's really a very emotional thing.
I see the actors and actresses that win these award shows and the big one, of course, the Oscars, which is on Sunday night, and they always seem nervous. And that always surprised me because, I mean, their job is to entertain and be in public, although it's a little bit different with film. Do you get nervous when you go up there, or have you done it so long that you're cool as a cucumber, as they say?
Well, no, I get nervous. Probably not as much as they do because they're not used to doing things on live television.
Right.
And I am.
Which you have done brilliantly in your career.
Thank you. You still get nervous because you don't know if you're going to win because they read the list of the other competing films, and then they announce yours, and you stand up and you go and get your award. It's something I didn't expect, but I just recently won the best documentary feature at the Beloit Film Festival.
Nice.
And that was the first time I won in Wisconsin. So it makes you smile an awful lot.
Let me have you do this because we talked many times in the run up to the release of the film of your documentary. Tell the folks about it, what it is. We only have a couple minutes before break, but I wanted to get that in.
Oh, it's called The Exchange in White America, Kakana and King, 50 years later. It's about a high school student exchange between Rufus King High School and Kokona High School that took place in 1966. And the play they did was In White America. It was then restaged in 2016, 50 years later. And then it was taken up to Kokona in 2018 so the community there could see what they had been involved in 50 years before.
Yeah, and the story is tremendous, and that's probably why you're winning the award. So let me ask you two quick ones before we let you go. And I want you to come back on as you continue to stack these awards at some point in the future in studio. Where do you put the awards that you win?
I have them in my office.
Very nice.
Which, you know, is in my house, which is like everybody has an office in their house. But I have them up on a bookshelf, and surprisingly, I'm running out of space on the bookshelf.
That's a good problem.
I've had to move things around.
That's a good problem to have.
I do.
All right, and last thing.
Yeah.
Do you watch the Oscars? And because I'm coming back to them after taking a few years off. Do you watch the Oscars, and what do you like about them?
I watch the Oscars every year. I used to try and see all the Best Picture nominees, but now that they've gone up to 10, I can't make all 10.
That's a lot.
But I have a theory. The last film that I see before the Oscar night is the one that wins.
Oh.
And I don't know why that's true, but that's true almost every year that I've watched. So I haven't seen anything. I'll probably see a movie tomorrow and maybe Sunday morning. But the last movie that I...
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you survived this part of the States and elsewhere. The snow. Just a word of caution, because somebody sent this to me a little bit early, and I forgot to mention it. If you are in an area with power outages, especially down power lines, notify if you're aware of it. Otherwise, steer clear. That's dangerous, and you don't want to put yourself or or others' lives at risk. So, I mean, there's a lot of tree branches down, so those, when they happen, can take those lines down. And as I learned a couple years ago, you often don't know what you're walking into. So just notify first We Energies, if that's your provider, and then... obviously, steer clear. All right. So I was thinking long and hard last night. We're a week out from St. Patrick's Day. And I could have waited till next Friday to do the Irish edition, as I call it, of If Steve Ruled the World. But I thought, you know, why? Why shouldn't we build the anticipation, the excitement, the fun? I love hearing the Irish music, which will filter in throughout the next 15 minutes or so. So with... Without any further delays, here is this week's edition of If Steve Ruled the World. Things first, folks. Did you know about $245 million is spent on beer every year on St. Patrick's Day celebrations around the world? And about $235 million of that goes down the bathroom drain in about an hour. Hello, green beer. And you know what? You know what else? I'm actually part Irish, but not the red hair parts. Not the drink too much parts. Not the good at golf kind of Irish, although I wish I was. More of the, I can't find where I parked my car after 3 hours of drinking Guinness at an Irish pub kind of Irish guy. Remember when everything shut down in Wisconsin on St. Patrick's Day a few years ago, the pandemic? That was the big day, right? Unless, of course, you lived outside of Milwaukee County or Dane County. In that case, it was more of an alcohol-fueled middle finger toast to anybody who took the virus seriously. We remember that. We remember. Basically, this is an oldie but goodie. You'll recognize this one. Basically how Donald Trump approached the whole thing.
And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that, too. Sounds interesting. Right. And then I see the disinfectant. It knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that? Injection inside or or almost a cleaning, because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that, so that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
It's Steve. Ruled the world.
Man, somebody should bottle that brilliance. Did you know that St. Patrick's real name was Maewyn Sukkot? And he was British. Here's a thought. Maybe we shouldn't have holidays famous for drinking named after name-changing non-drinking priests who aren't even Irish. Just a thought, people. Look it up. So all this time we've been living this big lie. Not the big lie, of course, about the 2020 election was stolen, or that Michael Gabelin, of course, has an even basic understanding of how election law in Wisconsin works. But the fact that this is an Irish holiday, supposedly. Up until about 20 years ago, this was not even a big deal in Ireland. Matter of fact, there's a famous saying, St. Patrick's Day is for the rest of the world who don't know how to party like the Irish do all year round. And what a surprise. What a unbelievable surprise that Wisconsinites embrace it like it's their own. Because after all, nothing says it's a holiday in Wisconsin like getting stumbling drunk, getting into bar fights, and 2 hours later, marrying that girl.
But it's all right, because as you know, Lenten restrictions are typically lifted on St. Patrick's Day. As devout Catholics, what have you girls given up for Lent?
It's Steve. Rule the world.
And if you listen to the show, you know why I put that in there. Okay, the city of Chicago does this thing every year. They'll do it next week. 40 tons of dye into the Chicago River to turn it green on St. Patrick's Day. To be honest, I thought that was the regular color of that river, but who knows what they put in that river the other 364 days of the year. Maybe they could save a little of that green dye for some of that brown cow pasture that they call playing turf at Soldier Field. Have you seen that field? Come on, folks. And a little something for the environmentalists here, because I know you listen. You may not admit it to your friends on Twitter, but I know you listen. The dying of the river also kills the only fish capable of living in that dirty stream you call a river, which is carp. Although the rumor was that all those fancy seafood restaurants down there have been passing that stuff off as Chilean sea bass for years. True story. Second City, my... Now, stop. Too early for that. We'll get to that one in a second. All right. How about this one?
It's hard for me to say I'm sorry. I just want you to stay. After all that we've been through, I will make it up to you. I promise to.
Okay, I'm being told that's the group Chicago. Never mind.
It's Steve. Rule the world.
All right, see, more history here, because that's, I educate, entertain, and engage every day, 9 to noon on WTMJ. St. Patrick actually died on March 17, 461. Man, that's a long time ago. So we're really talking about a wake here, right? Instead of gorging ourselves on corned beef and overpriced green beer, maybe we should be a little more solemn. If you see an actual Irish person next week, offer your condolences. And when they ask what for, just mumble something about the pandemic, Wisconsin politics, Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend, Joe Biden. Did you know he's Irish? They'll look at you like you're crazy, of course, but picking out the crazy ones from the sane ones in Wisconsin is no easy task. We know that, folks. We lose our you-know-what when our favorite fish fry place raises the prices. You would think with all the alcohol we drink in the state that we'd have figured out the answer to every problem by now, but, of course, alcohol makes you smarter, at least that's what we're all telling each other. Or maybe it's cheese. I'm not sure.
You can't handle the truth.
It's Steve. Rule the world.
Now, if you listen to the show, you know, like to call out the idiots who watch shows like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Love is Blind, The Kardashians. There's like, My 600-Pound Life. There's like 8 billion of these shows now. The Housewives of any big city in America, which is probably the worst thing on television. Degradation of women, overblown egos. On The Bachelor, egos of guys who spend more time with their mirrors growing up than with their teachers. But yeah, by all means, watch these train wrecks every week. Well, if you want reality, and you're out and about on St. Patrick's Day, and you see a fine lass across the bar, or lad, don't take the easy way out and have the bartender deliver a drink for them. Take a chance. Walk over. Show some intestinal fortitude, big guy or big girl. Start up a conversation. Where are you from? Are you Irish? Are you vaccinated? Where'd you go to school? Is it possible to be a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice and always be the dumbest person in the room? You know, real life questions. Life wasn't built on just doing the easy thing or just buying your way to the top, unless, of course, you're Donald Trump. Strippers, golf courses, votes, all the same to him.
Lighten up, Francis.
It's Steve. Rule the world.
Was that for me or Trump? I'm not sure. One of the key elements of enjoying the St. Patrick's Day festivities, and again, we're doing it a week early, we're going to revisit it next week, I'm getting you warmed up, is the wearing of the green, of course. Now, there are some basic rules for the celebration. Don't show up at an Irish bar on St. Patrick's Day with a Packers jersey, a cannabis shirt, even if it's green, anything political. Leave the Let's Go Brandon shirts at home or sweatshirts. Or for the love of Mary Kelly, a shirt that's any color other than green. It's not really that complicated, folks. Now, I get that green is not a good look for most people. I rarely wear green unless it's associated with the green and gold. But let's be honest, you're in a dark bar. Probably drunk. Most of the people are also drunk and will have no idea who you are, so just wear the damn green. Green is often thought, by the way, to represent tranquility, good luck, and health. Although it can also be used in the phrase green with envy, or you look green, or you're about to throw up, dude. But wearing of the green is a must.
Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear?
It's Steve. Rule the world.
All right, if you walk into an Irish restaurant, we'll get back to that green in a second, by the way, on St. Patrick's Day, and order anything other than potatoes, Irish stew, corned beef and cabbage, or maybe a Reuben sandwich, you forfeit your right to celebrate the holiday for the rest of your damn life. Stay in the right lane, people. It's not voluntary, it's mandatory, Irish or not. You can have wings any other day of the week or year. Unless they're green wings, although most green food outside of lettuce, broccoli, and beans isn't really that appetizing, especially green meat. Ask a butcher.
It's not easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves. When I think it might be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not easy being green.
If Steve ruled the world.
Man, I completely forgot how much of a buzzkill Kermit is. Man, does he bring it down. I got to bring it back up. I think we can all agree that part of the St. Patrick's Day experience can be drinking too much and making bad decisions. We all make them, right? Even elected officials. Hillary thought she could beat Trump. Mike Lindell thinks his pillows make people sleep better. He also believes the election was stolen for some crazy reason, but he can't get anybody other than a Bubba or a Betty to believe. And the Vikings thought they could actually win a Super Bowl with Brett Favre or Kirk Cousins. Or maybe even the Jets and potentially Aaron Rodgers, because we're all on Aaron Rodgers' watch right now. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. So if you fall into the I make bad decisions category and find yourself doing the walk of shame this week, hold your head high. Life will go on. You may or may not have a permanent reminder of your experience to hold on to, maybe a tattoo of a shamrock. But own it, respect the process, and move on. You've earned it. And again, let's be real. This is Wisconsin. Most of your friends only know you as someone with a drinking problem.
I'm getting drunk on a plane.
Buying drinks for everybody but the pilot. It's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G6. Stewardess is some sexy leading pour a Coke and whiskey. Told her about my condition. Got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi.
It's Steve. Rule the world.
Now, I want you to be a responsible drinker, so if you plan on drinking and driving on St. Patrick's Day, do the right thing. Big favor for me. Throw your car keys away. There's Ubers, Lyfts, you know, MCTS, a friend. A million ways to get a free ride. Exercise that gray matter of yours and do the right thing. And while you're on that slow ride home, think about how much you appreciate my willingness to break down all this country's concerns every day on my radio show, 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, right here on WTMJ. Instead of yelling at you for 3 hours about how dumb the other political party is. That's called making good radio choices. Not about standing up or fake patriotism. You could have a million jets in your background, but that doesn't make you patriotic. That's fake news. Matter of fact, since we haven't gotten to the official anthem of If Steve Ruled the World yet, this is for all you radio squawking knuckleheads out there, and just for you, your reference, guys. In that movie, you are not the Burt Reynolds character. Figure it out.
If Steve ruled the world.
And finally, I wish all of you happy St. Patrick's Day. A week early, I'm so excited about it. We'll do it again next week and celebrate with your friends. Be safe out there. Say hi to someone you never met before. And if they're willing, nice peck on the cheek. Don't be an idiot. And if your pee is green, you don't have a urinary tract infection, haven't been eating asparagus or drinking green beer, get yourself to a doctor right away. See, this is also a public service announcement, my friends. That is this week's If Steve's
Steve
Ruled the World.
Ruled the world.
Take us to break, Brandon.
I'll take this jug of drinking juice, I'll bust it on the wall. I'll stay sober the rest of my days, never touch the stuff at all. I'll never touch the stuff at all.
How many times you promised me you'd never drink that juice? Well, I've learned 5,000 times or more to trust you ain't no use. Trust you ain't no use.
I'll never get drunk no more, my love. I'll never get drunk no more. I'll never walk into that barroom door. I'll never get drunk no more.
One of the things I love about doing this show, and happy Friday, everybody. I hope you are surviving the snow here in Wisconsin. And if you're not having snow and it's 75 degrees and sunny, good on you. That worked out well. So just a sampling of the texts that come in. And, I'm going to go to this one first because it's not all seashells and balloons. Now, I know Patricia's a big fan of the show because she says it right in the opening sentence. She sent me an email at steve.scafidi@2fs1d@wtmj.com. Steve, I'm one of your biggest fans and I've listened to you continuously since you started WTMJ. I'm no prude, but the only thing that bothers me is that you use the word damn. I just used it. I probably should have filled in there. An awful lot during your radio broadcast. Do I use it that much? I don't think that much. But I will, and I just sent a reply to it. Other than that, keep up the good work. Thanks for the email, Patricia. My mother, Agnes, agrees with you. My lovely mother, Agnes, would agree with you. So another dollar in the, if she's keeping track, it's up to like, I don't know, $450 bucks, something like that, in the swear jar. H-E double hockey sticks is the other one that people complain about. From the Old National Bank talking text line. Now, this goes back a little bit in the show when I was talking about... this is from Steve Ruled the World, actually. I mentioned The Housewives. Not a fan. The Housewives shows, I think it's bad TV. Now, because I respect people have different opinions, I'm going to read the text that came in from the 414. Steve, I work in rehab with people who are insanely sick, and my only thing that keeps me sane is watching The Housewives. I have a master's of science degree and don't consider myself stupid, but this kind of show lets me just watch and not think about anything and laugh at the idiocy of them. I hear you. To put it in perspective, I also watch Frontline, great show, Nature, watched it yesterday, and a lot of PBS shows as well as documentaries. And hey, I don't laugh at you for liking Maverick Top Gun, even though I recently watched the first one and thought it was pretty stupid. To each his own, Steve, my friend. This is from Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. That's a great text. One, disagreements, which I'm completely fine with. One of the unique qualifiers, or I should say distinctions of this show, because we all know how everybody else handles that in this market and elsewhere. So no problem, Lauren, and have a great weekend. Let's see. From the 262, don't forget green shamrock shakes. How did I leave that out of the thing? McDonald's green shamrock shakes? Brandon, you're a thumbs up on that?
I am not, but the five little ones at home would argue against me. I don't like shakes.
I'm not a fan either, but one of my favorite grandpa memories, or papa in my case, is when my oldest grandson, Max, was very young, maybe a year and a half, 2 years. My daughter, Katie, filmed him with his first shamrock shake, which for anybody who's had one as a kid, it's like the home run of shakes.
With the whipped cream.
Oh, the whole thing. And she asks him if he wants to share it with Papa, and he goes, no, I don't want to share it. And I still have this video.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, he was not giving up that ice cream, or that, he called it ice cream, but it was a shamrock shake. He was not giving it up for anybody, including his
family. I mean, it is ice cream through a straw.
Yeah. And I think they're probably already out, right?
My wife got them for the kids one day after school, and we haven't been back.
I haven't been to McDonald's in a couple of weeks, so yes, shamrock shakes. And because you brought that up, 262, I will actually include that in next week's Steve Ruled the World, which will be Irish Edition 2.0, because we've got to celebrate it on St. Patrick's Day. And we might even bring some of the fun music that you've grown to love as part of my Steve Ruled the World. All right, from the 414. An old saying in the used car business, the only thing that should be green is grass and money. Well said, 414. Well said. Lynn asked Steve if he saw the article on WISN 12 about Bruce Springsteen giving away his harmonica to a member of the audience at the concert. I did not see that, but it doesn't surprise me. You know, people often, when I mention Bruce Springsteen, there's this, not everybody, obviously, because he's very popular, but it's like, I don't like him. The magic of Springsteen, I just had this conversation with somebody I work with, teammate. The magic of Springsteen is his commitment to the product, his commitment to the audience, his knowledge of music going all the way back to the 60s, and his willingness to craft something, even all these years later, that is still relevant, fun, as an exciting thing. And, you know, all the people who were bashing me the other day because I was talking about Springsteen is, oh, I hate his politics. Why do I care about that? Why would I care about his politics? He's an incredible musician. That's the problem with our country. You're letting politics dictate everything, so you're missing an incredible experience. Ask the however many thousands of people were at Fiserv Forum on Tuesday nights. I was with people who had never seen him. They loved it. Concert critics, who are often very tough in their criticism of artists who come to our town for one night, do a show, and then blow them up the next day, they said, this is one of the greatest performances, concerts they've ever seen in their lives. You miss something. And the bottom line for me is, this is a message that transcends what I'm talking about right now. If politics is your qualifier, one's politics, one's feelings about politics, either that or one's feelings about candidates, you are missing out on a life experience that may give you an entirely new outlook. So is there a mission statement for the show when it comes to that? Yeah. Blowing up nonsense. I could care less if it's the top radio show or the top network TV program talking about politics. I don't care. Liars are liars. Fake news is fake news. I refuse to give in to that. All right. We'll get some more fun stuff as we round out our show. And Jeff Wagner's got 3 hours today. Who knows what he's going to talk about? I bet he's not doing St. Patrick's Day early. I bet he's not. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. Quick break here. WTMJ. Without telling me my producer listens. There you go. Full display. Brandon Snide, star. One of these stars. Wisconsin's Morning News on WTMJ. Big time sports guy. They're literally dancing, sort of in the dark, in the background there. All right. A little more text action before we get to our other Friday feature we can review. Sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Steve, stop bashing green. Green is the color of tranquility. Surrounding yourself with it brings calm. And everyone can wear green as long as it's, everyone can wear green as long as it's the right shade for you. Man, you really thought that out. I love green from the, from Diane, my faithful listener, loyal listener, Diane. Thank you, Diane. Have a great St. Patrick's Day. And I'm telling you that a week early. Steve, you are an a-hole. How did that get in there? See, if I did what everybody else did, you wouldn't have heard that one, but here we are. Let's see. Ken from Heartland. For Steve Ruled the World next week, any bumper music from Pat McCurdy. I've seen Pat 20 times. Love his unique, interesting way he performs. He's a Milwaukee legend. I don't know if he's ever been on national TV. The guy just cracks me up. And he's got a great attitude. Hope he's like that in real life, too. All right. Let's see. A lot of love for Jeff Wagner. He's coming up in about 14 minutes. I love Jeff as well. From the 414. Springsteen's lyrics helped me through some very dark times, heavy stuff. He's the soundtrack of my life. I teared up in some of those songs on Tuesday. Does that make me a wimp? Maybe. Who cares? Let's see. Somebody sent me a great picture of the concert and a local, looks like a woman, giving the, Bruce, the boss, a couple red roses. So very cool picture. Thanks to the 847. It was a fantastic show. And this person's been a fan for 42 years. So if I use 74 as my starting point, someone do the math for me. 74 to 2023, what's the math?
49?
49 years of Springsteen love. How about that? So next year is my golden anniversary. Here's what I'm going to do. I haven't told this to my wife yet. To celebrate 50 years, if that's the right number, because I'm trusting you on the math, I will travel to an out-of-city experience with Springsteen, a concert somewhere else next year. If he's touring.
That's a cool trip. That'd be a fun trip.
Oh, yeah. Now that my wife has seen him, she appreciates him. All right. One thing we do every Friday, I actually love this, because it's all the voices, all the things that our guests and the newsmakers, game changers have talked about. This week is no different. A Keewaskum athlete laps the field. The boss takes over downtown Milwaukee. He sure did. Another round of wet, heavy snow and more. It's the Weekend Review, sponsored, of course, by Outdoor Living. Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
From the WTMJ Breaking News Center, Muskego High School administrators apologizing, saying they are investigating allegations of racist behavior.
Per our district policy, once the investigation is done, strict discipline will be handed down if the allegations are found to be true.
18-year-old Jordan Stoles became the youngest ever to win the 500-meter race at the World Single Distance Championships in the Netherlands over the weekend.
Not only did he beat everybody, but his time was so fast, it was kind of flirting with world records.
Y'all know what happened to me, getting smacked by Shug Smith. People like, did it hurt? It still hurts. I got summertime ringing in my ear.
Face to fist.
That's well said.
Or is more fist to face, I think.
Oh, wow.
Vince Petrano
just smacked the shit out of me.
A debate takes place today over a proposed hotel on Milwaukee's east side. It's the home of a gaming store called Mega Media Exchange. But if approved, it would bring a 130-room hotel to the area.
Shortly after entering Mexico near the border city Matamoros, four unnamed Americans were assaulted by gunfire. Armed men forced them into another vehicle and drove off.
Without being specific, he says two of the four are dead.
Hi, guys. I said it was the greatest hair crowd I've seen ever.
I just am surprised at how many people have said, even Piet Levy, who's been to a million shows
himself, I read his
piece. Have said that this was the best concert they've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
I'm the president, but he's the boss.
Getting to this point has been years in the making.
Museum president and CEO Ellen Sensky spoke today about the Future Museum's time travel gallery.
This is Rogers Watch 2023.
Aaron and the Jets.
Well, the Jets asked and the Packers obliged. With permission, the Jets have a team of suitors on the ground in California meeting with Aaron Rodgers, according to ESPN's Rob Domofsky.
The Packers sure hope Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to come back.
I would not expect a quick answer from Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you guys know this. He's pretty reflective.
What? You don't say.
On this International Women's Day, county officials are commending transhumanity.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has personal connections with trans folks.
When you think about Regina Maya Allen, Maya, I actually went to high school with and had the opportunity to learn and experience from her what it was like.
Allen is one of three black trans women to be murdered in Milwaukee in the past 9 months.
Sound for the ceremonial start this week, sled dog expert Susan Kim is live with us this morning. No?
Everyone around the state is really excited about the Iditarod. It's really a fun thing to watch and to hear from the mushers. The mushers are like stars.
Open three. No good. No good. Marquette wins it. Marquette has won the game.
Josh Alexander missed the three. All you need to know.
We were working closely with Congress on when it relates to TikTok.
We're talking about a major piece of competitive and foreign policy legislation.
Ultimately could lead, I would add, to banning platforms like TikTok.
With 100 million Americans daily on TikTok on an average of 90 minutes a day, this is an issue.
WTMJ Fleet Farm Storm Team alert. We are waking up to this heavy, wet snow this morning.
We Energy is reporting that 103,000 customers are out of power this morning. The majority of them, nearly 90,000 of them, in Milwaukee County.
What a week, huh?
What a week, eh?
What a week.
Shut it down!